It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Thank you very much, Paul. Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and we're going to be talking about reality today. Virtual or real? That's the question. But hold on, we'll get to that in just a minute. It's going to be hard work for me today. No great guest to interview. You know, once a month, I've got a conflict with another meeting with one of my corporate clients, and I'm always afraid I won't get back in time for the show, so I don't want to schedule a guest. So that's the one where I kind of pontificate to you about what's going on in my coaching world. Hopefully it's of interest. But if you're listening to the show live, then, hey, you know that you're on octalkradio.net. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. And also be sure to check out our archives for other great shows with some really interesting guests. Let me just whet your appetite a little bit. Next week, we're going to be talking to Susie Hotchman, and she has got an exciting story. She has been everywhere, radio, television, active on the internet with Facebook and all the other tools. So she's going to be an exciting guest to have. And the week after, first week in September, we're going to be talking to Robert Murray, who talks about publishing. And this is going to be really interesting. Well, let me just give you a little quick rundown on what we do here at The Coaching Perspective before we get into today's topic. You know, we've been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. Helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. We work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. In addition to that team coaching, we also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, communication workshops, and other things that you would be interested in. So go to our website, thecoachingperspective.com. I'm a master certified coach, a past president of the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation, one of three children, owner of a fantastic Alaskan Malamute, and we could go on and on, but that's probably not of any interest to you. So let's get into today's topic. You know, if you saw our newsletter or looked at the blog, you saw that the topic for today is, what is your reality? What I said in that introduction was, if you don't know where you are, is it possible to get to where you want to go? We talk a lot these days about virtual reality, meaning a computer-simulated environment that stimulates a physical presence. But how focused is your coaching on exploring the client's perception of reality around the issues that you're coaching? Is the issue real or virtual? Does it make a difference? Well, we're going to touch on that today, plus some tips about coaching, mirroring the client's perception, and all of those other great things that coaches like to talk about. Well, as I said, I want to talk about reality. The reason I want to talk about it is in the last 2 months, this issue has come up in my coaching with clients in a number of ways and under a number of other labels. Sometimes it's been about mirroring the client. We all know that coaching term where you like holding up a mirror where you can see your own reflection. The coach acts as a mirror to reflect back to the client what the client is actually saying and how they're behaving and how they're acting. So that's what mirroring is about. Sometimes this reality topic has shown up to me in ways where it's about helping the client to get clear on their vision. And many times it's just about giving them a new perspective on an existing issue. So what is reality? Seems like a silly question, and I really wondered about putting it in the title for today's show, but let me just tell you what Wikipedia, that great reference manual that we all rely on, what does it say about reality? Well, it defines virtual reality as a computer-simulated environment that simulates a physical presence. Well, I think this definition's too narrow. And by too narrow, I mean that I wouldn't limit it to computer-simulated. The computer simulates a virtual reality, but you know what? We as human beings also do just as good a job, maybe even a better job, of simulating a physical reality with our own mind. You know, today when someone says we need to meet, hey, Doug, we need to meet, I have to stop and ask them, do you mean a virtual meeting or a physical meeting? And if virtual, do you mean audio only or audio and visual? Or are you just referring to the state of coming to an agreement and not truly interactive in the sense of getting together? Whoa, what's happened to our language here? Meeting used to mean we got together physically someplace, but not today. I would say that most of my meetings fall into that category of virtual, somehow computer simulated and brain simulated between two people who aren't really within arm's distance of each other. You know, the other thing that entered my mind as I was preparing for our show today is the question, is reality the same as truth? You know, is reality really true, or is my truth really the only reality? Can we have two different realities about the same situation or environment and both of them be right, or both of them be true? We know recently I had the opportunity to conduct a vision exercise, or as I've chosen to label it, a how you see it exercise, with first the management team of a company and then with their total staff. And I want to share what went on in this exercise with you because I think it's so relevant to today's topic. I started the exercise by showing them a video on YouTube TEDx Rainier by Patty Dabrowski. It's called Draw Your Future. And if you want to see it, Draw Your Future will be the easiest way to get to it. Well, the way the exercise worked, and I deviated a little bit from what Patty did on the YouTube version. In the YouTube, she was talking about drawing your future for an individual. And as I watched this video, I thought, you know, this would be a great thing to do with some of my clients. Many of my clients are more visual than they are auditory. They're more right brain than left brain. So what we did is, to start the exercise, they watched the YouTube video, which sort of explained the idea of drawing your current reality, meaning drawing the environment that you're in, both your work, your home, your physical, your emotional environment. What is that environment? What does it look like? And then once you had drawn that, and that would include both the positive things about your environment and the negative things about your environment. So what I had this group do is I had them draw this picture of their current environment in the business world. What was their environment like at work? What was their role in their work environment? What was the social aspects of that work environment? What were the physical aspects of that work environment? What were the aspects of the business in terms of what it did, where it was going, how it was doing it, whether it was successful or not? You take your pick. I left it fairly open for them to draw the environment as they wished to define it. Now, once they had finished that drawing, and this was about a 10-minute exercise, and the interesting thing was some of these people were very good, I want to say graphic artists, who could really draw, well, wonderfully. Others were people who couldn't draw at all, who claimed, I don't know how to draw. But, hey, they were good sports, and they went along in the exercise, and they drew something. And the guidelines, because they kept asking me for guidelines, was draw it any way you want, whether it's a flow chart, whether it's a cartoon, whether it's symbols, whether it's word linked together. I don't care. However you want to describe the environment. Once they had finished that, then it was, okay, take a fresh piece of paper and now draw the environment as you'd like to see it a year from now or 3 years from now or whatever is reasonable to you. But draw the environment that you're in as you wish it was in the future with no restrictions. So don't restrict vision of this future environment by they probably wouldn't go along with these changes, or there isn't enough money, or we don't know how to do that. Just, hey, be creative, play with it a little bit. So they drew that second picture, another 10-plus minutes of exercise. And once they were finished, it was now time to share what they had drawn. And in this particular environment, we decided that confidentiality was important. So the idea was that the drawings were going to stay the property of the individuals who drew them, and that everything that was discussed in the room would stay in the room. But they all acknowledged that as the corporate coach, that I was going to take and sort of synthesize what I heard from all of the different employee groups that I was doing this exercise with, pull it all together and present a picture to management of what, how the employees, how the staff saw the environment. You know, the drawings they did were absolutely fascinating. What was even more fascinating was as the people launched into explaining to each other, went to the front of the room, held up their drawing, and explained what their drawing meant. And, you know, it was kind of interesting. Some of the drawings were beautiful in their simplicity. Minimum number of lines, didn't take up a lot of the paper, very clean, couple of graphic elements. And from that, we got a great explanation of how the person saw their current or future environment. And in those, for those people that their drawings were extremely simple, it was amazing how much more detail they added in the verbal explanation. Obviously, they were a little more comfortable in that format than they were in the drawing. For many of the people, their drawings were extremely detailed. I mean, they had footnotes, they had legends, they had little tiny elements that were extremely important to interpreting the drawings. And as they explained these drawings, they got very passionate about it, and they had to explain every single element in the drawing. And again, we learned amazing things as they talked to us about the drawing that I don't think I would have been able to get from them in any other way. You know, somehow the creativity that was unleashed by them drawing, whether they were good at it or not, then sort of also opened the floodgates for them to verbally express what their drawings meant, totally uninhibited, totally blunt, honest, many times with passion, very seldom with anger or blaming, but just a matter of explaining the picture the way it was. You know, as we think as coaches about what this is, what better way to mirror what somebody is, what their environment is that they're expressing, than to have them draw that environment and then explain it to you? Because what the drawing doesn't show, they fill in with the words. So this was a great, great exercise for getting them to see where they currently were. And in many cases, you could see that they were adding details in the verbal description that they didn't have in the drawing. So this was a learning experience for them about their reality. You know, And I don't mean a learning experience in the sense that they didn't know this before, but it's sort of like we operate under all kinds of assumptions, premises, information that we aren't even consciously aware of. And many times these sort of subconscious assumptions and this subconscious information is what's coloring our view of the reality. It's what's forcing our decision-making or our interpretation of the reality, and yet we're not even aware of what those assumptions are so that we can question them and determine whether, in fact, they are valid or not valid. But in this sharing exercise, in using both the right brain and the left brain to really explain the drawings, I think that the people that participated became much more aware of their current environment and much more aware of the future environment that they would like than they had been before they started this this exercise. You know, we asked earlier, can there be more than one reality? It's kind of interesting that as I conducted this exercise, I was able to observe that two people who sat right next to each other in adjacent cubicles or desks every day with the same manager, basically doing the same work, could have two totally different realities or perceptions of what their environment was. Now, does this make one of them wrong and the other one more insightful? I don't think so. I think what happens is that based upon our experiences, our culture, our training, and all the other things that make us uniquely individual human beings, we observe the environment and then interpret it to fit our truth or our reality. This is a fascinating observation for me. It explains why two people who are eyewitnesses to an accident or an event have totally different accounts of it, because their frame of reference is different. What they come to the event with, their past experiences, their assumptions about what's going to happen, their biases about what they are seeing, all influence how they take the data in and observe it. You know, in the YouTube video that Draw Your Future, the explanation was given that the retina takes in visually information in a two-dimensional way. It is projected on the retina, two-dimensional. So then how is the three-dimensional world converted from this two-dimensional drawing on our retina? Well, the answer is that the brain takes all of these things, experience, culture, training, all the other things that make up our brain. It takes all of these other things and it adds them to that two-dimensional view to fill out and guess at how it works in a three-dimensional way. So the example that was given is that, you know, in a two-dimensional world, how does the arm know where the coffee cup sits on the desk? Because that kind of depth perception requires three-dimensional observation. The brain fills in that third dimension, that three-dimensional element, based upon our experiences. And that same thing happens all day long in our business and our personal environments. We think we are observing reality or truth, and in fact, what we're observing is our own interpretation of reality or truth. So what happens when we go to coach someone about their issues and we think about the fact that the issue that they've described is only their reality of the issue, may not be the real issue? Wow, this is kind of spooky about where we go with this. Well, you know, I think that what we start is, the first step is to mirror back to them what we hear them saying, or in this exercise, have them draw their reality. This helps them to see their reality more clearly, you know, especially if we have them interpret it for us. So if you don't have the ability to go through the drawing exercise as a coaching tool, we listen to the client and then we repeat back what they've said. And then we ask them whether to confirm that what we heard is what they said. And usually they add and they subtract elements as they begin to look at the picture through our reality of what we heard and them say. I think this is a very powerful tool, especially for those of us who think more right brain than left brain, this drawing ability. But let's not stop there. Once we've helped them to see that other reality exists than just their own, then the issue is to create new perspectives. You know, at the coaching perspective, we don't use the word reality much. We talk about creating new perspectives, about the fact that if you can understand the problem, from different points of view, then the solutions become almost self-obvious. You know, so the idea is once the client's reality has been sort of described, is to work with them to get to see what other realities might be possible. So if their issue is with one other person, so their issue is with their boss or their employee, then how might the employee be looking at this situation? And therefore, how are they reacting to it? And how does this then change your perception of their reactions and what you observed? You know, my own coach is always talking about the inside team. That's her term. You know, when we have an issue, she goes, we need to go to the inside team, which I think is her way of looking at different perspectives or questioning the issue from by creating multiple realities and then picking which one it is we want to work with, which means that there's multiple realities as an inside team. It means I've got multiple realities going on at the same time. You know, a good example of this was, in fact, just this week, I was working with my own coach and was asking for some help on the book on coaching that I've been writing and have not been very good about writing on in it lately. And, you know, you can just say I've got writer's block, but the issue was, why am I not getting to this? So the coaches, my coach said, you know, we need to look at the inside team. How many people are involved in this, or how many different realities are there with this? Well, as we explored my reality or my perception of writing a book, we realized that there were really two very dominant perceptions that I had. One was, and this, the one that I started out writing the book for, was I was really excited about writing. Writing was fun. I liked to share my thoughts by getting them down on paper. And this was going to be a fun project for me. Whether anybody ever read it or not, or got anything out of it, I was going to get a lot of fun out of putting down my thoughts on paper. So that was my happy reality about writing my new coaching book. The other reality that sort of crept into the picture recently was the reality that had been that I had sort of adopted from conversations with other people, that writing a book is a great marketing tool. And if you really want to attract new clients, if you really want to create more image, more expert image for yourself as a coach, you need to write a book. And so you've got to get going on this book. You've got to get it out. You've got to produce so many pages a day. The best time of the year is a certain months to release this book, so you need to get it done by then. And all of a sudden, the reality around writing this book became one of a marketing chore. I'm not a big marketing person. So spending all my time on a marketing task, hey, this is something I wish I could have delegated to somebody else. Hey, could I delegate to somebody else to write this book? No, not really, because then I wouldn't have been able to satisfy my other reality, which was having fun. So once I understood or was able to see through my coach's help that there were two different realities kind of warring with each other here, it wasn't too difficult to say, well, which reality is the one that I want to live in? It isn't really one's right or wrong. It's just there's two different ways of looking at the environment, the exact same environment. The same manuscript, 90% done, sitting there, could either be my happy book or it could be this marketing chore that just needs to be finished. And so once we looked at that, then from a coaching point of view, we were able to talk about, okay, obviously the better reality is the happy reality. What are we going to do to create this environment? How are we going to work differently? What things do we need to stop doing? What things do we need to start doing? You know the drill. But the breakthrough was understanding that there were different realities around this task. This wasn't even a matter of an issue with other people and different perceptions about what was going on. This was an issue with me personally having different perceptions about what was going on and letting one, in this case the more negative one, take over from the more positive one. You know, I had a similar experience as I was coaching a client a few weeks ago. This was a corporate environment, and the supervisor I was coaching was talking to me about what had been a great employee that they've had for a long period of time, who has suddenly become a very problem employee. That this employee has become argumentative. They become difficult. They question everything. They have forgotten about doing the work based upon the intent of what the request was, and instead they follow the letter of the law, which is obviously not getting the task done the way it was explained. And this supervisor was very frustrated and wanted to know what can she do about correcting this employee? How do we go about handling this? Well, as we talked about this, and the fact particularly that kind of rang a bell with me was the fact that this was a new behavior for this employee, not consistent with their past behavior. We started exploring in our coaching discussion with the supervisor. I started exploring, why do you think the employee is acting this way? What do you think their reality is? How are they interpreting what's going on? What's happening for them? How do they see your requests? Was there something that went on that you can identify that triggered this change in attitude? You know, I don't want to go into a whole lot of details here, but basically what we got down to was recognizing that there was another way to look at the same events that the supervisor was saying caused bad behavior from the employee's looking at those events and saying that was the predictable reaction given the way they were interpreting their reality and was not a direct attack or direct, way of getting around doing what was requested. I had another situation. This one's maybe even more on point about reality. A small business owner that I was meeting with, and the comment was, you know, I need help. I need some coaching around hiring people. Everybody I've hired has been terrible. They don't do the work. They don't seem really dedicated to the company. They don't last very long around here. They look great on paper. They seem nice when I interview them. But after they've been here for a little while, they really don't even stay very long. I mean, I'm not happy with them. They're not happy here. It's just a toss-up of which one of us throws in the towel first. So what can I do to create an environment where I don't need to hire any people anymore? So the reality that this business owner was looking at was a reality that basically said there aren't good employees out there to do the kind of work that I need done for this company, and therefore I need to find another way to do all the work myself. Boy, that's a depressing point of view. Now, as we explored that reality, and as we talked about it more, what we got into was really the question of, why do you think these people left? Do you think you really are that bad at hiring? Well, I'm going to give you the answer to that question right when we come back from this commercial. So I'll be with you in a minute.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481. Or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
And we're back here today talking about reality. So are we really back or are we not really back? Well, virtually we're back. So we're talking about the situation I had with an owner of a small business who was so frustrated with the lack of success in hiring people that the coaching question was, how do I get by without hiring any people? Well, we started to explore the reality from the point of view of the people who left, who were unhappy. What do you think their perspective was about the company, about your management style, about their environment? Could it have been any different than yours? Well, you know, of course, the first reaction is, well, no, I think I'm being very honest about what I'm telling you, Doug. But as we got into it, it wasn't a matter of this person being dishonest about telling me what they observed. It was a matter about them observing what they thought was going on based upon their past experiences, their culture, and their brain and their assumptions. So here we have the owner of a business who is fantastic at doing everything that needs to be done in the business, who's been doing it for many years, who has a difficult time seeing the lack of knowledge, the lack of experience, the lack of understanding that a new person coming into this business approaches it with. So the new person approaches this, the new employee approaches the job with, I don't know enough about what the job is. And as we start to explore this, the owner starts to realize that, hey, they really haven't done a great job about explaining to the new employee what the job really entails. In fact, as we get down to doing that, they realize that, you know what, some of their expectations about what this job entails aren't even realistic for the person that they're looking to hire. We start to look at how they train the person once they come to work. Of course, what we immediately identify is the fact that for those of us who know a lot about our business, it is very difficult to know what we know. We subconsciously know more than we consciously realize we know. So therefore, when we teach, we're not given enough information because we're assuming we're not even aware of what other people don't know. You know, this is one of the great benefits of writing things out rather than talking things out, because as we write it, it somehow becomes more visible to us what we're leaving out. Whereas when we say it, we're hearing in our brain, not necessarily what we said, but what we meant to say. And that disconnect is eliminated when you start to put it on paper. Although how many times have we looked at a sentence and read it, and somebody else says, well, that isn't what it says, and we've read the sentence wrong because we read it the way we meant to write it, not the way we wrote it. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about that distorted reality that causes so much confusion in business today, that causes so many communication problems. So once we started to talk about this, we talked about a better job description. We talked about more defined onboarding practices of how to bring an employee into the company and give them the background we needed. We talked about working on the art of delegation and doing a better job of understanding how to delegate, of setting out clear expectations with defined follow-up. All of this meant to create a reality that both the owner of the company and the new employee would agree with, that they would have more, it would be more likely that they would see things the same way. It's always amazing that as I start to prepare for a topic to share that all of a sudden all of these coaching examples come in. But I had the opportunity this last month to work with a company and to do the DISC assessment, which is a communication and motivation assessment. The one I use is through TTI. To do that for all of the staff and then to have a two-hour meeting to sit down with the staff and to explain to them what the DISC means and how it can be interpreted, what their individual reports mean, and to sort of get them to understand what are the differences between their individual communication styles and how does that affect their communication daily in the workplace. And what happened was all of a sudden the light bulb went off. I mean, literally one person turned to the other and said, "Now I understand why you drive me nuts asking for more detail. That's just what you need to make a decision." Because what we had defined was the differences in their DISC style was one liked to look at the big picture, didn't want to be bogged down with a lot of detail, and preferred to be given things from a 30,000 foot altitude perspective. And the other one liked to work down at ground level, wanted lots of detail, wasn't comfortable with going forward until they understood all of the background and all of the ramifications of going in any possible direction that we might choose to go in. And it wasn't until it was understood that this is a communication issue, or in today's language, this was a way of perceiving different, of taking the same situation and fitting it into two different realities. The one person was going, the other person must be slow, and the one was going, why doesn't this person explain it to me more thoroughly? But once they understood this, once they could see from the other person's perspective, all of a sudden it was so easy to satisfy what that person needed. We had another situation where almost the same sort of thing, but in the reverse, there was a manager that was driving one of the employees nuts because this long-term employee who has been doing the job for a long time and doing a great job at it, in this session said, "You know, it drives me nuts that you give me such detailed instructions every time you ask me to do these certain kinds of tasks when I've been doing them for years and doing a great job and you're always happy with it. Why do you waste all of our time going through all the detail? Why don't you just let me know, hey, I want you to do XX for this?" And the supervisor looked at this person with this dumbfounded look, not dumb look, dumbfounded look, and said, "Well, I thought that's what you wanted. I never even realized it. Yeah, you're right. I totally trust you. I totally know that you know how to do it. It's just a habit I've got that I go into all of this because guess what? I treat everybody that I delegate things to as if they are coming from the same reality. In other words, I treat everybody as if they don't know anything about what I'm talking about, and therefore I give them very detailed instructions." Wow, what an eye-opener that was. You know, that kind of makes the point of what we're talking about today. It's all about identifying what the reality is, what the individual truth is that we're dealing with. Once we understand that, it is so much easier to coach to come to a solution for those kinds of things. Well, before I sign off, I want to just remind you, a great Orange County International Coach Federation chapter meeting will take place September 13th in Irvine. You get to hear Marcy Weeder, and she's going to talk about dream big as a coach and how to tap into creative solutions for handling setbacks. So go to www.icforangecounty.org. Get more information, make your reservations, and be sure to make the September 13th chapter meeting. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Coaching Perspective today. We air live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Somebody asked me the other day to be sure to mention that that's Pacific Daylight Time. I had keep forgetting that our reach for our audience stretches across multiple time zones. I got to think big, or as Marcia Weider would say, dream big, Doug. But thank you for tuning in. Look for our weekly newsletter. Usually comes out on Wednesdays, telling you who our guest for Thursday is going to be. And if you're not getting this, be sure to go to our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and I'll be sure that you get on it. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals right now.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.